Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The story is told of Thomas Edison, that a teacher believed that he was incapable of learning anything, and she sent him home. And it was at that point that Edison's mother taught him that he was on his way to a lifetime of overcoming what seemed to be insurmountable obstacles. We, of course, know him as the inventor of the incandescent light bulb, the phonograph, and the fluoroscope. And most of his inventions required months, if not years, of dedication to overcoming obstacles before seeing any results. And in a 1921 interview, Edison described his persistence in this way. "After we had conducted thousands of experiments on a certain project without solving the problem, one of my associates, after we had conducted the crowning experiment, and it had proved a failure, expressed discouragement and disgust over our having failed to find out anything. I cheerily assured him that we had learned something, for we learned with certainty that the thing couldn't be done that way, and that we would have to try another way." You know, very few things of lasting significance and value are achieved without overcoming obstacles. In fact, most of what we know to be overnight successes are actually the story of someone continuing to persevere in the face of great difficulty and disappointment. It takes faithfulness to bring projects to completion. We're in the middle of a series on the fruit of the Spirit, and today we are talking about faithfulness. What is faithfulness? How do we remain faithful? And what does faithfulness mean between God and us? Not just in the good times, but also in difficult times. You know, faithfulness is one of those words that we don't really hear used that often. It almost seems to be an old-fashioned term to speak of someone's faithfulness. And if ever it's talked about, it's often talked about in the context of relationships. And if even used there, it's to the negative, that a person was unfaithful. There was a widower who died and went to heaven and discovered that the streets are actually paved in gold. And on those streets of gold are all kinds of cars driving around, Mercedes and Cadillacs and Chevys and Nissans, and usually with two people in each one of the cars. And at the pearly gates, the man is grilled by St. Peter on his faithfulness, and the man says that he never cheated on his wife, but he had looked at beautiful women and, of course, had some thoughts, but never acted on them. And St. Peter thinks for a moment and says, "Well, that's not so bad, but it's not so good either. You don't get a Mercedes, you get a Chevy." And so the man goes to pick out his car, and he walks past Ferrari and Mercedes and Cadillac and gets to the Chevy dealer, and there's his car. It's an old Nova. And he discovers that there's no air conditioning, and he says, "That's okay. This is heaven. It's not Florida." And he gets in, and he drives off. And he's driving down the Golden Roads, and he almost drives off the road because he sees his wife pushing her way along on a scooter. Bad joke, I know. Faithfulness. What a contrast to today's story. The story of Ruth is a story of faithfulness, even through the toughest of times. Faithfulness. Unfailingly acting with a strong, loving, gracious loyalty to someone or something, regardless of the difficulty or hard times or circumstances. The fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness is a gift that God gives to us that we can share with others. And in the book of Ruth, it's important to pay particular attention to the names of each one of these characters because their names actually tell a part of the story. Our story today is about a woman named Naomi. And Naomi means pleasantness. And she's married to Elimelech, which means God is king. And Naomi and Elimelech are from Bethlehem, and they have two sons, Mahlon, which means infirmity, and Chilion, which means wasting away. And aren't you glad that your parents weren't Naomi and Elimelech? Those are some cruel names to give to your children. And in the course of their life, a famine hits Bethlehem, and they become refugees, and they flee to the land of Moab. And they're there for 10 years, and during this time, their two sons marry two Moabite women. The first one is Orpah, which means stubborn. Now, moms, you should tell your children if they're going to marry somebody who's named stubborn, they may want a second thought on that. And the second one is Ruth, who means friend. And life isn't easy for Naomi in Moab as a famine hits there as well. And her husband and her two sons die. And in the tradition of that day, not having a husband or sons any longer, Naomi tells her daughters-in-law that they are free to leave and go anywhere that they want, but she is going to go back home to Bethlehem. It's obviously a different society than what we have today, but there is a dilemma that is created for these two daughters-in-law. Should they stay with their mother-in-law Naomi and go to Bethlehem? Or should they stay with their family and what they knew in Moab, where they grew up? And Orpah decides to stay at her home in Moab, and Ruth gives us an example of faithfulness. Faithfulness to the end. Listen to those words again. Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do this and so to me, and even more as well, if even death parts me from you. More beautiful words have never been penned. Naomi receives Ruth's faithfulness, the faithfulness of a daughter forever, of caring for her mother-in-law. She's faithful and true to her word, and her loyalty is seen over and over, and it shines through in the book of Ruth, which is more than we can say for Naomi. Naomi becomes bitter and even asks her friends to call her Mara, which means bitter. She spends her time questioning God's faithfulness because of the situations that she has found herself in throughout her life. Because it's not easy to be a widow. It's difficult to remarry, and there's no one to provide for you in this culture. And as a result, she does not want to be considered pleasant any longer. According to Naomi, the Lord has dealt bitterly with her. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Sometimes I wonder, as I look at Naomi, her complaints sometimes seem out of place. It's paradoxical on some level. Naomi is bitter, complaining and whining, not because she can't trust in Ruth's faithfulness to her, but because she feels that God has abandoned her. But even while she complains, she holds on to Ruth. And through it all, Ruth holds on to God. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when you feel that God is so unapproachable, so distant, that the way that you come closest to God is through someone else's faithfulness? Sometimes what you have to see is someone modeling faithfulness to you through the most difficult of times. And it is their faithfulness that sometimes pulls us through. That constant reminder that even in life's difficulties, even when God seems so distant, God still is near. And sometimes the best way to see this is in another person. Even though God does not feel near to Naomi because of life, God was closer to Naomi than she could see. So let's continue with her story. Naomi and Ruth go back to Bethlehem. And Naomi guides Ruth to make a connection with a wealthy relative. And this man's name is Boaz, which means man of strength. And Boaz and Ruth marry, and they have a son together. And while both Ruth and Naomi strive to be faithful on their own, they fail on their own, and they need the safety of each other and of Boaz. And they need God to provide through the circumstances of their life. Ruth becomes a model in the story of Israel's faithfulness. All through this story, the theme of God's faithfulness. Even though Naomi wants to be bitter because of the struggles, the famine, becoming a refugee, a widow, losing sons. God is faithful. Because in the first place, God gave Naomi that husband. Then God gave those two sons, and they marry, and Ruth is one of the wives. And Ruth is faithful, and even when all of the obligations are passed on the death of her husband and sons, Ruth stays faithful to Naomi. And it's in marrying Boaz that God saves Naomi again. Later in her life, when she's holding her grandson, she comes to her senses and wants to be known as Naomi again, pleasantness. You know, like Ruth and Naomi, we are surrounded by relationships every day of our lives. I know that you've seen this in your life. Circumstances that are around you, the faithfulness of others, friendships that endure the ups and downs, the godly faithfulness modeled by family members or friends. A little over a year ago, I had surgery, and I ended up in Overlook Hospital for a few nights. And I was in a lot of pain, and I basically slept most of the day and night as a cocktail of pain medications knocked me out. But on moments when I woke up, it was so nice to see friends from here, show up at my bedside and say a prayer for me. And how many times did I receive texts and rides from different people? You know, it happens all the time when we hear that there is somebody who is in a difficult situation. We spring into action as a church family, as we see the pain of others, prayers and meals and faithful friendship. God answering those prayers that we were faithful in asking. But as strong as the faithfulness of friends and family are, when we speak of faith, our faith is ultimately in our God who is faithful. Our faith is in our Savior who is faithful. We don't have faith in a book or in a church or in a denomination or even people, because all those different things can let us down. We have faith in God who is always faithful to us. The psalmist says it in Psalm 117, so great is God's steadfast love for us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. God's faithfulness endures forever.